They're both.
Hey, Jill, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Ross.
All right, just wanted to make sure. Just having a little bit of trouble getting this thing set up. So
Nope, I can hear you.
good, and we're recording.
I didn't realize we had this meeting to
I'm glad you
until
finally
like
decided to
2 hours
show
ago.
up.
As I was leaving work, and Rhea was like, "Do we have a meeting?" I was like,
No, we
"No."
have one next Thursday, too.
And next Tuesday, well, I have one next Tuesday
Well, we're here for
for finance.
budget, yeah. Oh, Kathy.
Capital. Well, I have a budget meeting
Oh, I
for
got
Board of
that.
Selectmen
I
on
have those to
Tuesday.
go to as well at some point, so.
And then, unfortunately, what? Are we sure the cap? Yeah. The 25th, right?
There's something I sent out just before the meeting, so I got a copy of that.
Yeah.
Myself. It's just thoughts for when we get to
D.
the discussion on how do we work together and what do we do to realize all the efficiency gains we're going to get as a committee versus a board.
Maybe.
One to Mr. Monroe.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
I don't know if it's nice, but you're going to get one anyway. Happy New
And Happy New Year too. It's good one for
Yeah, we haven't seen you in a minute.
And Happy New Year too.
Oh, your hands are cold.
Sorry.
Now mine are too. I
Oh,
didn't put
goodness.
gloves on when I got in the cold
Oh.
steering wheel, right?
I ran home from work, hopped on the bike for a half hour, jumped in the shower, so I'm still warm from the workout in the
Oh,
shower.
glasses. So, okay.
Oh,
All right.
no. They're still on your face, though.
I have more.
That's
What
pretty good.
happened?
My arms broke out again.
Oh, I bet you had like a crack in the lens. You got your Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas and shot your eye out. Shoot your eye out, kid. Well, hopefully we'll have a quorum. We squeaked by on Tuesday.
Yeah, did we have, so we had a meeting that Tuesday. I didn't realize it.
Yeah, special meeting for Kappa. And we have another one next. This is a special meeting too, actually. It wasn't called as such in the
Because we didn't
website.
schedule it on time.
Yes, that's all. But we still
Or
have
we
to
didn't set
restrict. We
the.
still have to restrict our discussion to the agenda.
Sorry, I missed it.
Was
Check the
exciting.
Outlook on Monday.
Read the minutes.
Exciting.
Yeah.
It's
It's a
probably at
busy
least as
night.
exciting as your AP meeting afterwards.
Followed by the budget meeting after that. All budgets, all. You won't miss this.
I thought I would escape this after I left, after I retired.
Escape what?
Budget cycles.
Well,
They
we have a
would.
quorum. Oh, is that? No, wait. That's the wrong Ashley? That's the wrong Ashley.
No, that's the Ashley Clark Ashley.
Ashley Clark Ashley. Yeah.
Not the Ashley
Balin.
BOE Ashley. So we do need another person for a
Well,
quorum, but
Rhea reminded me about this meeting, so she should be joining us somehow.
good. It's one of the newbies, so she can ask a lot of good questions because she doesn't know how we're supposed to do it. Well, we got 1 minute to go. Actually, 1 and a quarter, so there's. Apparently, I didn't push record for our meeting on Tuesday. So luckily I was taking notes and
Oh.
we didn't really get into too much nitty-gritty detail. So well, I did the minutes.
Okay.
Because they had to be posted today because we made two motions.
Oh, right.
And those have to be posted within 48 hours. Yeah. So I made sure this one actually started recording on its own.
Okay. Yeah, usually they do when you...
For whatever reason, on Tuesday, no. And I thought I pushed, but I guess I didn't. Well, for folks out there in Zoom land, we're going to delay the meeting start. It is 7:15, which is when we would start, but we do not yet have a quorum. We need four for a quorum, so please hold.
You haven't heard from anybody?
Your attendance is important to us.
We didn't talk about it on Thursday, so I don't think...
What?
Like, normally when we leave a meeting, Bobby will be like, see you on Thursday, and he didn't. So I think he forgot we had one, too. Do you have his phone number?
No. Guess we need him. I should...
Oh, she... Oh.
What?
She re-wrote 7:30.
Luckily, we don't have any outsiders we need. You know, sitting on the call waiting. So I hate doing that. I don't know why I don't have Mr. Morrow's phone number. I should.
I'm sure Rodney did.
I have Rodney. Let me go text Mr. Rodney.
I can Facebook message Ashley.
I was just going to text Mr. Fournier.
There's Kristen.
Fournier, Fournier, Fournier. Where the heck is he? I'm going to chat with him.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. We don't have a quorum yet, so I'm just trying to, we're trying to track down a few people.
Okay. I know Ashley's going to be late because her kids have concert tonight, so she's coming from that at BCS. And Rhea did say she was coming to me earlier today, so.
She's on her way. She thought it was 7:30.
Got it.
And Rhea's right there, so she'll be here in 2 seconds.
Okay, so Rhea's going to be here shortly. As soon as I find Mr. Fournier. Where the heck did he go?
Kristen might have Bob. Do you have Bobby's number? Bob Mora? She does. She's.
I think. I don't know. Hang on.
We just need to start using Slack. It's quite a thing.
Is Mr. Rupert coming?
We have Jim.
That's true.
No, Jim's not. Won't be here tonight.
He will not?
No.
No, we do have you, as Amanda pointed out.
That's correct. I can handle it.
Okay, you think so. This group is getting rowdy.
Nah, I'm not worried about you guys.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah. Take it. Come on, Ross. Bring it on.
Recorded for the public record, so.
Bring it on, Ross. Bring it on.
Kristen is mouthing obscenities. Thank God she's muted.
Emma and Rhea. Heard a door.
What?
I heard a door outside of our.
Drag people in off the street. Ah, you got a quorum. That's good. Grab a seat and we're going to get started.
Concert at BTS.
And
that's an early concert.
You probably didn't see this, which I just melted.
No, I left right two songs before. I didn't.
Bob Mora, I'm sending him the link and he's going to get right on. So give me a sec.
Good. That's all right. I was late to one of these meetings and I'm the chair.
I appreciated your email.
So I'm going to call the meeting to order at 7:20. This is the Bolton Finance Committee meeting. We just got a quorum with a couple of late arrivals. So we have Rhea Klein here, Amanda Gordon, Ashley, and Bob, as in Monroe. And Ross Lally, who is the chair. So we do have a quorum, and I'll call the meeting to order. So I'm going to start out with public participation. I'm looking around. We do not have members of the public in the room other than our board, your committee members, and I do not see any members of the public online. So I will move on to approval of minutes. Oh, one thing I just do want to remind folks, tonight is a special meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a special meeting because we set the meeting schedule late in December, and there's a 30-day notification period that you have to post regular meetings within, and we missed that. So this is a special meeting, which means that if we can only discuss topics specifically on the agenda. So if anything else comes up, put in the parking lot, and I can add it to the next meeting's agenda when Jill and I set that. So let's go on to the approval of the minutes for December 21st, 2023, our regular meeting, and I will entertain a motion to approve, and then we can do discussion.
So moved.
So I have a motion to approve from Amanda, and a second from Bob Monroe. Discussion, please. If any.
I think your last name is spelled wrong. Is it? I didn't notice it.
No, she doesn't notice.
Page? On the, yeah, I think, isn't it PHE?
Oh, it is. I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's
but that's how my mother pronounced it. So
I guess it's not important if the name's owner doesn't even notice.
It's fine.
So that's a correction to Ashley Phelan's last name.
Good, Amanda.
Anything else?
That's
good. So I'm hearing no other comments, so I will keep going, and we'll motion to accept the minutes as modified, I guess, at this point, to correct Ashley's name. I have a motion for that.
I move that we accept the minutes with the change.
In a second from Ashley. So Amanda made the motion. Ashley seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So that's unanimous by the members of the committee present. So we can now move on to our elected official and town staff reports. So we can start off with the Board of Education update from our superintendent of schools.
All right. Good evening, everybody. So we are currently 39% expended compared to 41% expended at this time last year. Being fully staffed continues to be a challenge. And I received some word this evening that it's becoming even more of a challenge. We may be having another staff member depart. So stay tuned, I guess, is what I got.
has nothing in here. I was just looking to see if you had a report in the.
I apologize. No, Casal had been ill, and she got it out today.
Wait. I did include it in their packets.
Oh, you did. Thank you, Jill. Yeah. That's our fault, though. I'm sorry.
I got it.
In the printed version.
Oh, it's in the printed version. It's not in the online version.
I didn't get it till this afternoon, so I got. At least I put it in the packet. So
I just need to look for it because I wanted to put it up on the screen if we could, but since we don't, we can't.
But everyone has a copy of it, so.
I mean, I can put it on the screen if you want to see it.
I think if you could, you answer quickly just so that it's there for the sake of anybody who may want to look at it later.
Sure. So I'm going to start at the top. Sorry, I'm going to scroll. That's going to make you feel nauseous. So this is just a report commentary. We didn't have any transfers over $10,000. We are 39% expended compared to 41% last year. We are projecting, you know, at this point, continue to project full expenditure and regular instruction. We are waiting to find out what our first bucket of money is going to be with regards to excess cost. So right now we're projecting full expenditures there. You know, I just want to remind everybody, special ed changes day to day. So this can go up or go down. Mm-hmm. As well as the other areas. And you know, from last month, we had already realized some savings we took into account, as I shared last time, the science teacher position. It's a position that we still need for next year, and it will be in next year's budget. But as I shared, the high school principal picked up course loads so that we can make sure that kids are getting what they need, because the teacher went out due to illness the day before school started, and there were no teachers, science teachers, to be had at that point. So I anticipate the salaries and wages number to go up based on our current unfilled positions. But I remain hopeful that maybe we'll fill a few. So I'm going to hang on to some of it for now. Any questions for me?
Mr. Monroe.
Just an observation. Superintendent, when I look at the year to date expended $5,151,000, and assuming that to some regard it's almost a 50% of the budget. I know this is a fallacy, but I'm going to address it at the moment. So if we double that for the end of the year, that would be like $10,003,000. My experience has been we're running payrolls at around $800,000 a month or whatever. So with 6 months to go, I think that the $10.3 million, just doubling that, is not really appropriate. We need to add about another million in there because of the way June falls. So that would be 11.3. I think there'll be, you know, other additional expenses that we're not anticipating. But I have a hard time seeing that number going past $12 million, which would mean we're heading toward a budget surplus of unspent cash in this account of over $1 million.
How do you figure that out when we've only spent 40%, not even 40%.
39.
Bob, I just want to call to your attention that teachers do not start collecting a paycheck until September.
I understand.
So even though this is through December, for the teacher portion, which is the largest portion of our bucket of salaries, that's only 4 months. Right. One third of the year, not a half.
Because the teachers are paid for the school year, correct?
Correct, unless they elect to take, so they either take 21 pay periods, September through the last, you know, the period in June, or 26 periods and they get a balloon check the last pay period in June. But either way, we don't start doling out salary monies until the second or third week of September, depending upon when the payroll falls.
Right.
So.
And, yeah, this is just is not an exact number. I just did it in my head. But as I've done this over the years, this rings fairly true. So I've put additional money in there as a consequence of the delayed start of the full payroll. So I'm saying that not only will we double where we are right now, bringing us to 10.3 million, add another million in there, at least, that would get us to 11.3. And then for the additional payrolls, let's add in another 700,000. That'd be two full months, basically, of payroll costs. That would get us to $12 million.
That's, just so you know, that balloon check, that balloon payroll is well over $1 million.
Correct.
Yes. It's not, yeah.
Yeah. I know there's lots of things that go on.
Bob, I will tell you, Bob, it is I do not anticipate right now in January, based on where we sit with personnel, that we will be sitting on $1 million in salaries and benefits. Now, I could be wrong because more people could leave or decide they don't want to teach anymore or not be a paraprofessional or whatever the case may be. But that is not what we're in the forecast of right now.
And I hear that. And that's the Board of Education and your forecast. This is mine. And
I'm just sharing my thoughts just like you did.
And me as well. So I'm just saying, you know, we'll watch this. I will continue to watch it, of course, very closely and watching these numbers and whether these rules of thumb seem to apply or continue to apply. And if so being, you know, 2-3 months from now, we'll need to start thinking about what we're going to do because of that.
And by do, you mean
what
the number is for next year's budget.
Right. And you know, if I'm mostly correct, that's going to be a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of dynamics going to be going on in this next budget cycle, not the least of which be including reval and its impact on the mill rate, et cetera, and the fact that we should have plenty of money in the different board budgets. You know, what will the demands be and how much money extra do we have? And it's not a question that I can provide an answer to. It's only something that the Board of Selectmen can. I suggest that we will become a topic for discussion that requests some serious consideration.
Well, I think it also, to your point, and let's monitor it. And to your point, let's see where we wind up with it, because if it is a substantial amount, it would affect, you know, how we go look at next year's budget.
Yes.
And in fairness, we should look also at the Board of Selectmen's budget, you know, in the same way.
And having said that, you know, I don't disagree any of the points that you bring, although I think I disagree with the number, Bob, but, you know, so stay tuned. You and I have disagreed before respectfully, and we'll just keep going that way. I'd have it no other way, actually.
So many years.
I just will add one other point, which I have mentioned before, and it's not a surprise, is that the budgeting done by the school is different from the Board of Selectmen's budget, because your budget for next year is based on what you got the previous year. You can't go below that unless there's a substantial reduction in enrollment. So it does raise the floor for the Board of Education by whatever amount that budget surplus is. Whereas with the Board of Selectmen, they don't have to start with last year's budget. They can go lower. So there is a little bit of difference, and I just want that to be out in the open. And this is by state, you know, mandate. It's a fact that we just live with. I'm not, you know, blaming anybody. It's just what the state set up, the framework we have to work within, and just something to remember for all of us.
Thank you, Ross, for that reminder. I also would like to ask if maybe at the next finance meeting or at some point soon, it could be made clear what is sort of like the last drop dead date, if you will, for both boards to come to the table with regards to potential savings for this year to go towards next year's budget, right? With the knowledge that we still both have to budget for the remainder of the year, and we got to have a little wiggle room because things, we know things have happened before. So I just think it would be helpful for both boards to know that, because my board will need to take action before I can share what that might be.
That's true for both boards.
Right.
And I think, Ross, I think it's Bob Moore. I think as you've done it in the past, you've worked backwards from the referendum date to when you have to have it ready. And I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. And I'm not quite, and I obviously never been on the board before. I'm not sure what you use as your, how far back you go.
Let's make a note of this too, because this also informs some of the discussion that we're going to have later about how we deal with, as part of how do we work together as a board and be more efficient? How do we work when we don't know numbers and have to make a guess or not? So we can talk about that later tonight. We don't have to wait till the next meeting. Yes.
When I say these things like that make people wonder what the hell is he talking about. It comes from experience, but also I would normally make sure I have enough, and I know that a lot of things can happen between now and then. Listen, and I know you kind of deal with them. We were talking about that the other day. So there's unexpected things that can happen that could be substantial influence on this. That's what I'm thinking at this point.
Yeah. And I just also want to point out, too, that this is also something to talk about later, too, is being comfortable to challenge the way Bob did. So that's something else I want folks to feel comfortable, because it's a different dynamic. So we also need to talk about that later as well. Any other questions for Superintendent Hecht for the Board of Education update? I'm looking around and I do not see any on screen or in the room. So we can then move on to the town update, and we'll start out with the revenue summaries. So Jill, do you want me to share the screen or do you want to?
You're gonna have to. I don't have access to my drive, so you're gonna have to.
Okay. Yes, that sort of pulls my cards on me. So let me go and share. Turn some stuff around and come on Zoom, come back. Hold on a sec, there we are, sorry. Come on. Okay. Lead on, Jill. Tell me where to move on the screen.
Okay. So the current tax collection is at 100.77% of 98%. Motor vehicles is at 96.27%. We did start collecting. I don't know why that percentage is. No, I guess my percentage didn't work. Well, I guess maybe for a supplemental, I guess maybe it's such a small amount that it's not, or it's, the calculation isn't working, but we are starting to collect the supplemental motor vehicle tax collection now. And I just a note, if you look back at last year, January of last year, we were at December of last year, we were at 101.25%, which kind of makes us look like we're behind. But I did look back the last 4 years, and actually last year's 101.25% 2.5% was the highest we had been in all in the last 4 years. That was actually higher than normal. So this, our collection at 100.77% is actually the second highest in the last 4 years. So we are doing well. I just don't want to look back at last year and think, oh, we're not doing as well. That was extraordinarily higher than normal. So, you know, we're doing really well with our collections. So that's very encouraging.
Remind me, Jill, the motor vehicle was 96.27% of 95%. Is that what we budgeted?
Did we do 95 or 94? I can't remember. I don't know offhand. I know it was less than 98%.
Right. Okay.
I don't know the exact one we decided on, but I know it was not 98. You're right. I can look back and find out for you for next meeting, but you're right. It wasn't 98%. Because I had looked back in the past and our motor vehicle collections are always lower than regular real estate and personal property tax collections. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
I am looking around here, and if anybody on screen, I have to bring them back up. I'm not seeing any further questions on that, so I guess we can move on to expenditures.
You want to look at the regular other revenues? Oh,
this one. Okay, sorry. We're not done with revenue yet. Let's move on.
Yep.
If anybody has any questions?
So I guess my question, Jill, I'm looking through this. Is there anything that jumps out at you that needs to be worried or for us to keep an eye on?
I don't think so. Not at all.
I wasn't seeing anything, and I just want to make sure that I was looking at it correctly and if anybody else had any questions or concerns. Bob?
Yeah, I mean, you know how carefully I watched the interest amount. And
no.
No, tell us about
I was a little shocked, I guess, or whatever, last month, thinking that the interest that we received recorded there was only about, I think, like $7,900. So I was kind of surprised that it went up as much as it did this month.
Not $7,900 last month. It did not increase by $7,900. It was much more than that.
Do you recall what it might have been?
No, but I can look back because I know for a fact it was not $7,900.
I appreciate the correction. I just got a
little. So for November 30th, it said $259,602. So it jumped how much this month? $311 minus $259. So about $50,000. And then what was it the month prior to that?
No, I
only started recently. Yeah. Okay, so we don't know how much it jumped between October and November.
Yeah, there's something to keep an eye on, to Bob's point as well. And you also have to look ahead as interest rates longer term interest rates have started to drop, at least those going out for a year or so in anticipation of the Fed's cutting back their interest rates. So keep it in mind. Yes, Amanda?
I was going to say, are we still at the same rate that we were when we first negotiated this new deal? Because I know it was subject to change.
They have a benchmark they use that determines the interest rate. So that's what we're going to have to be aware of. And I don't recall.
We're still at the same percentage.
Okay. So right now, their bench rate for interest has not changed.
Jill, I'm sorry. Sidetracking, but were you able to find that number?
I'm looking for it.
Jill, a minute to look for it without distracting her. Unless she gives up and lets us know.
And it is something that comes up, as it should, every month. I wonder if we can have an appendix or something, a statement every time we have a Board of Finance meeting, just so that we can understand the composition of.
So you want to see it by months of trending since this beginning of this fiscal year?
Mm-hmm. Or even the basis for the calculation or how it was derived or the statement. Mm-hmm. Even.
Talk about that?
Mm-hmm. I've heard that request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that doable, Jill?
She's looking. She's looking.
Sure, she's looking. Maybe she's gone.
No.
No. Just says Jay Collins on the screen. We're done. You know,
she's muted.
Just want to see what it takes to move over to say something.
But that's a unique topic to both of the individual boards. So,
yeah.
Not within the scope of Board of Ed, not within necessarily the scope of Board of Selectmen. So, that's kind of a discreet topic for Board of Finance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that should be appointed directly to the Board of Finance.
Yeah. That's also something the Finance Committee will also need to think about, too, when we talk about the future is, you know, meeting with the bank, making sure that we understand what they're, you know, doing, and we work with the Board of Selectmen on that, too.
All right. So 259. So we went, September was 143,000. October was 207,000. As of end of November, it was 259. And then as of December, it's 311.
So, okay.
And that's the cumulative.
That's the cumulative.
That's cumulative, yeah. Correct?
Yes.
What was the difference between?
I got to do math. Okay. I don't do math without calculators. I'm a social worker, not a.
I'll
figure
it out.
Matt, Kevin, still don't
do head
math.
52.
Give me the numbers, Amanda, and I will do them for you.
Oh, I got it. But it was roughly 143,000 in September, 207 in October.
So we're going, are we doing from November to December? Is that what we were doing?
Yes. Yes. So November to December was a $52,000.
252?
Just a 52. So it went from 259 to 311.
Okay. Is that what Bob was looking for?
No, the previous month, we, Mandy just said that the
being a
52,000, for 252,000 at the end
51
of November. So I think the previous month only went up a small amount.
No, that's not true.
September, October.
I'll go back to looking because that's not true.
64,000, 52,000, 52,000.
52 each month?
Yeah.
Okay. I sit and stand corrected. Thank you all. Where that leads me though is, what kind of expectation, if any, will we have towards the end of the, as the year goes forward here?
Good expectations.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is
9-12. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we need to
it's going to decrease.
It's a decreasing balance that we get the interest on, but that's why it's hard to do it in my head.
Yeah, right. But I think it would be good to Bob's point. We've asked for a joke. We can do something, you know, each meeting is this shows specifically for the interest on this money is, you know, where do we, you know, what have we been receiving each month, the monthly
high level, how it was
calculated. the monthly amount that we got, the cumulative amount as of that month. And if we know what the basis is that they are doing that on, so we can track that. So we get an idea of when the future might change.
Right. And it gives us, you know,
It
behooves us to continue to look into this budget to see where it's going to end up. I mean, this is just another aspect of it that is doing really, really well.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be choosing revenue for next year soon enough, right?
Yeah, and we have to then use that understanding, especially with the basis that this interest is calculated on. What do we have to think about for next year? Because it's probably going to be lower.
My guess is 324,000
for this year.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take predictions here. Let's get a pool going. Anything else, Jill, as we go through the revenue so I don't cut you off before we've covered everything under revenue?
I don't have anything else.
Well, Jill, thank you for correcting me. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, so I do have a question that came up.
Revenue-ish.
Revenue adjacent. So last meeting we talked about the revenue from NIPS, right? And so this came up at Tuesday's Kappa meeting because we were talking about street cleaning, right? So we reduced street cleaning as a result of that revenue. But don't you have to recognize the full expense that is then offset by that revenue as it comes in? When I don't understand why
No. When you pay the bill, you pay part of it out of the budgeted amount and part of it out of the liability of the NIP money.
Oh, it's a liability. Okay, thank you.
Well, the money is put in as a liability because it is so that it rolls from year to year, and we are liable because we have to pay out that money for a specific thing. So in order for it to roll from year to year, we have to put it in a liability. Otherwise, it ends.
Right, it's a restricted account. Got it. Okay.
So it's almost like a grant in some ways. Yeah.
NIPS is a liability. Wouldn't it be an asset?
No, the money, when we receive it, we put it in a liability line because we have to pay it back out. And we don't have to pay it out in any given year, but it has to be paid out for a specific thing. So it's a liability. So the town, it's not the town's money to just use however or on budgeted items, town general fund. It's money that has to be used for a specific reason. So we have to pay that money out. We can't.
We have to spend it, basically.
Right.
So that's why it's a liability, because it has to be spent.
Mm-hmm. Like donor restricted money on the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I have to think.
So if it's, then there might be a surplus in the street cleaning line item of the budget.
There won't be a surplus in this because it's only $5,000. That costs, I believe Jim and I were talking about it today, it's like $17,000 or $18,000. Mm-hmm. The budget was created so that the budgeted money would go, and then whatever the balance of that would be taken out of the NIP money.
So we basically basically the town puts in a short amount, and then right. The difference is made up from the NIPS money.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, on that particular item, when in the latter part of the budget process, when we reduced the highway budget, we reduced it in that category based on the assumption we'd be able to utilize
the NIPS.
The NIP ones.
Okay.
Initially, the budget initially showed the request initially was, I believe it was 17,000 off the top of my head, but.
Yeah.
You're right, Bob.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand that knowing that the books as a liability is what I was looking to understand. So I could.
The NIPS abbreviation for.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too.
It's got to be an acronym for something.
Some grant program from the state or something.
NIPS.
You all set with that, Rhea?
Yeah.
No, thank you for asking, because this stuff is challenging and you've got to ask the question, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anything else then for revenue, and then we can move on to expenditures. So I'll go on to expenditures. Okay, Jill, take it away.
So the expenditures are going pretty well. The only one that we still are watching very closely is the waste collection. But other than that, we're right on target with all of our other expenditures.
Question from Amanda.
We're not worried at all about elections, given the new early voting requirements for this spring.
Well, Ross, you should answer that one. I don't know about that. Go ahead, Ross.
No, I'm just going to say I think we are good for now.
Okay.
And it also, as usual, depends on how many, referenda we wind up having, too. Because not only do we have early voting, we also have a certain number of referenda or not.
Right.
And last year we only had one, so that saved a fair chunk of change.
That was unusual.
I had a follow-up question on the election. So that $10,000 that we are getting from the state, the grant.
$10,500.
$10,500. Is that to be applied to this fiscal year 24 or next fiscal year 25?
It can go for both. The state has said it's good.
It's going to be annualized or either?
It can be annualized. So we can, it's like a grant where it rolls over. So we don't have to spend it all this fiscal year.
Oh,
so
not annualized. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, it's considered to be a grant.
Got it.
So we just talked about it today at a registrar's meeting. And so they said it can roll over from, and also the Secretary of State call. So that was a specific question that came up, and it can be rolled over from one of our fiscal years to the next. We should consider it like a grant.
And I know at the end of last legislative season, you know, she had said she was, she being Stephanie Thomas, had said she was hoping to get more money out of this bleeding stone that is our state legislature. And do any updates on whether they think they're going to get? No
updates.
Way too early in the process.
Yeah. And
well, I'm hearing no one's getting anything.
They said
that
the section that's coming, the legislative session that's coming up, is a short legislative session, typically devoted to the governor's requests for legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't expect anything necessarily coming out of that for anything other than what Mr. Lamont is looking for. And anything else is just like talk to your legislators. And the more input they get from the more people, whether it's also our town officials for any, you know, not just for voting, it's for anything that we have concerns of, the more representatives here from more people, the better.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a general rule of thumb for any of this where the state's involved.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not seeing anything that jumps out as being a, you know, an alert on here.
One area that we're looking at that is one of those uncontrollable ones is trash, the garbage one on the selectman side. That's the one that's the one we're running higher than we anticipate. And but these are the things as we get down towards the latter part of the budget season, if there's, you know, a shortfall there, we kind of look around and see where we are in other budgets to see if we can't deal with it and transferring. But it's right now, it's a bit early, but in a couple of months, that number will have a much better idea of, okay, if there's a shortfall, roughly what it.
And I think Jim Rupert had brought that up too as an item at previous meetings. That's why it didn't jump out at me, because we'd already discussed it. But it continues. It continues as a watch item. It's not a new one.
Yep.
Well, I'm not seeing any other questions on this. We can move on to transfers.
So there's a few transfers. You can read it, or I mean, if there's any questions, either Bob or I can help out with them.
Yeah, just for the record, we have like three transfers on here. It's 385 related to Tech Services Library, $5,000 to repair and maintenance services, and $10,000 also to repair and maintenance services. Yes, Amanda.
So the ramp this is for the ramp at the Town Hall Annex, which was a total of $22,000, which we opted to purchase instead of rent from the company that sold us or is renting us the building. Because in the long run...
No, it wasn't the same company. This company that we bought the ramp from was not...
Wilson. Right. I'm saying instead of leasing from that company, we bought it from a different
It's not the same company right. that we
okay,
got.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood, Amanda.
We decided to buy instead of rent because ultimately in the long run, it's going to save us money.
Right. Correct.
But who the thunk about rent? Ramping? No. 22.
So we only need 10.
We had to try, right. We had the rest of the budget.
22 soon.
It's quite the thing.
It's shiny for now.
Absolutely.
Did they anchor it yet? Because I know that was the next thing. Last time I looked, it was just put in place on top of the path,
right,
and I haven't had a chance. I think they're supposed to anchor it with some guy wires next to keep it from floating away when we get a windstorm.
Wow.
That'd be good for 22 grand.
So, may I
ask? Yes, Rhea.
A little new, but when we have transfers at the Board of Ed meeting, they where the money came from, came out of this account. So this is from equipment.
Yes, yeah.
Telling you that. Oh, this is just for informational purposes. These have been approved by the selectmen.
Okay,
fine.
Yeah. But it's saying to and from.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same as what the Board of Ed does. It's mm-hmm. like you have to know where it came from and where it's going
right.
to.
Okay.
And it gets approved.
Yeah.
Any other questions on transfers? If not, then we can move on to the fun part about the discussion on how committee members work together as a team when presenting and reviewing the new budget. So what I want to start out is let's do a quick summary of how we used to do it under the old Board of Finance. And then we can move into how do we want to do it and realize this is a work in progress. We can start out with doing it a certain way and correct as we go along. None of this is, you know, written in stone that just because you start, you have to keep going. And if we did it that way in the past, does it make sense to do it again that way or not? So in the past, basically Board of Education develops its own budget. Board of Selectmen develops their own budget. Members of the Board of Finance would go and sit in on these budgets. And then when it was time, the Board of Selectmen and would have the presentation done by the town administrator, and the Board of Education would have their presentation to the Board of Finance done by the superintendent of schools. And then we would have various discussions on it over time, and then we would often get stuck on kind of going back and forth on small sums of money that in the big picture of everything are not necessarily that important. They're worth noting, but how much time do you need to spend on $5,000 or $10,000 in a large budget? And the other thing too was another thing that I've had a couple of people talk to me about was how do we deal with numbers when we don't have them? Because we are dependent on an outside source like the state. And sometimes there's contracts that require, like with the schools, with, you know, benefits and approvals needing from the union, you have to do them on a schedule that's external to our schedule and what we need to do, you know, for putting a budget out there for the town folks to approve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the old way that we did it. And so we have a clean slate now, and I'll just entertain thoughts on it, because the intent of this committee was to make things faster and more efficient, because we have representation here from the Board of Selectmen and from the Board of Education. And how do we use that to make this process better?
Yeah.
And I don't have any answers. I did send out an email which covers some of the process questions I just mentioned now. And then others about how do we work together, which I touched on earlier about, you know, agreeing and disagreeing in a productive manner.
So I guess I'll start. So the way I feel is that it's a lot of meetings, which is good if there's a lot to talk about. But if the agendas are not super specific on what's needed to be covered, it's also, to your point, Ross, sometimes you are waiting around for updated numbers, and does it make sense to still meet if you're waiting around for updated numbers, but at the same time, still need to information share with what's coming together on the budget. So I think what would be helpful is if we're really, really clear every single meeting, what the purpose of that meeting is, and questions may come up along the way, but I think that we have to be really good at having a purpose for every single meeting and agenda setting.
So be clear on the purpose of the meeting. Mm-hmm. If we don't have the information that is needed to mm-hmm. achieve the purpose of that meeting, mm-hmm. don't meet.
Right.
If I might summarize.
A more detailed agenda, mm-hmm. essentially.
Mm-hmm. For the specific, for the special
for the budget cycle. Yes, especially for the budget cycles.
I'm taking notes, and I also just want to make sure that we're clear on this to help Ashley, you know, when she's doing the minutes. And I see Mr. Mora has his hand up.
Thank you. I'm going back to where you initially started in on the process. Going back originally where each board presented their process, their budget individually before the board, I think it should continue that way, and I'll tell you why, because that's one of the first times we actually present this whole thing to the public. And I think that's an important way to do it. The way I personally envisioned it, one of the things of having members of both the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education as part of this board is in the discussion process, you can ask a question, and the board members, respective boards, should have a pretty good, or at least a decent idea of what that item, what's going on. They should be able to, we respectively should be able to provide that information for us to share, at least enough so we can have an intelligent discussion. I think that's different than where it was before, because you were looking at a sheet of paper. And unless you were somebody there to really explain what the hell is going on, what the question was, that just dragged, to me, it dragged the process on. When you've got, I think it's part of our job to be try to be as informed as we can when we come to this meeting regarding our respective budgets, so kind of help each other through the process. That's just my thought, but I think that should help.
So if I want to just summarize then, Bob, it sounds like what you're saying is that if you're coming here from Board of, Selectmen,
yep.
and Amanda's coming from Board of Selectmen, and we have you guys should be intimately involved with the budget process so that when you come here, you understand and can help support, any discussion. And it sounds like the same thing for the two Board of Education mm-hmm. members. They need to be also intimately involved with the process on their side so that they can help support the superintendent and explain what's going on. Is that correct,
Bob? That, and we can also bring questions back to our boards that are brought up here that may need more explanation or something deeper. And at least that question, we have a 7-member board. You guys have again large boards. When a question is asked and someone is not clear of what's the meaning of the question, well, we were there. We can explain that and hopefully provide an answer quickly and a good answer for you. I mean, I'm just trying to think of ahead, but and what issues we've run into in the past. There's some, I think I don't know, someone mentioned it, but you've got hung up on, Ross mentioned, on $300 items, $400 items on this and that without really know, okay, what's that for? Why is this? And at least those answers pretty much should provide enough of an answer for the board to move forward with it.
Yeah. So it's also it's not only being engaged here, it's being engaged with taking questions back, and having multiple points of view should help. It's the question idea of diversity of opinion and thought. So that would work with both Board of Selectmen and Board of Education. So then I'm going to poke at myself at Bob, and we don't have our other, member at large, Chris, here. It's like, so what do we see as the members at large? What is our responsibility? We're elected to represent the general public. So, as well as the other members are elected too. So I guess my questions for, you know, Bob, for you and for myself as well, is what, how do we fit in with this process? So how much time do we spend going to Board of Education budget, you know, process and Board of Selectmen process? You know, what is, you know, how do we engage other than just with our constituents and come in and say, this is what I've been hearing from my constituents? And again, it's not just for Bob and me to figure out. It's like what the mm-hmm. other folks on this call think as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to remember that there's two different sides here.
Yeah.
Being presented, the Board of Ed side, you still got two competing budgets going on this process. You three are, if you will, not mediators, but you're not, if you will, vested in either of those budgets. That puts you in a very unique position. I'm sorry, Kristen, I didn't mean to jump in front of your hand.
No, you didn't. I was going to say something similar, although I would like to believe that we have evolved to a place where we're no longer competing, but yet we're all in this together because there's one pot of money, right? But the three of you are, like, to Bob's point. But having said that, right, to Bobby's point earlier also about both boards have to come and present, I think you have to do that by charter anyways. So that has to happen. So that's a must do for the committee. Yeah. But I think, you know, after that happens, at least previously, it's been my experience that we had a number of meetings where, and Jill could probably speak to this better than I can, Jill is not in a position where she has enough information at that point. And we've talked about this a little bit already, right? So I wonder about thinking about maybe when the boards should present, right? Is it prudent to do it like the day after it's due for the Board of Ed? I'm just putting that out there, right? You'll have it long before March 15th. And maybe it is prudent so everybody can mull it over and look over all of the information and have the Board of Selectmen go next or whatever the case may be. But then I'm not sure it's prudent or time well spent the very next week to have another meeting if Jill doesn't have any information.
And that's, I think that's a good point. And some of that may be informed if we're required by charter to meet, regardless of whether
No, you're required by charter to have the information to the board. Not to meet, but to have the information presented to the board. So they give it to you. It doesn't have to be in the form of a meeting. You have to have the information given to you, the board.
Yeah. Yep, that part I get. I was thinking more of, okay, so we get this. We know there's gaps in it, and we know they're not going. We should also know when that budget is presented what the gaps are in it and when we're expecting the information in those gaps to be provided, because then that would also inform when we meet, unless we also have another meeting that's coming up, like presenting it to the public. And if we're going to have to present that to the public at a town meeting or something like that, then we would have to meet whether there's data in there or not, because we would have to understand what those holes are. Do we have placeholders to put in them so that we can have a reasonable discussion with the, you know, the public on it? Amanda?
So I see this committee as having many different roles. And so I, to a certain extent, I don't know that this new structure is going to make us much more efficient than we have been, because what the charter doesn't take into consideration is that the, you know, Jill or Jim and or Kristen are typically at all these meetings, yeah, providing some type of, you know, information to the finance committee. And so I've never necessarily felt, aside from when they were waiting on information, that we didn't have the information we needed to have a conversation. I do think it'll make the process more collaborative, hopefully, and, you know, allow for more conversation. But I'm not sure how much more efficient it'll be just because of the new makeup of the group. That being said, I do think we may want to take a different approach to how we tackle our different responsibilities, right? So we have to figure out revenue, and we have to figure out, like, what's our total bottom line, right? Those are things that we have to do mostly together, right? Those are really important big questions. But then a lot of what we spent time on last year was communication to the public, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is not necessarily an overlooked, but it's we have valued it a lot, but it's not necessarily given the time and attention that it needs. And I'll say that because I I spent a ton of time on it last year, but I'm wondering if it might behoove us to create, instead of meeting as a whole board as frequently as we did last year, maybe creating a subcommittee or two that can work on that stuff.
I think that's a good
because idea. I would appreciate some help. And then it's easier if you've got multiple, then there's less fixing to do when we come together and share it with the whole board because it represents the ideas of maybe two or three or four people.
Pulling it all together.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do think maybe we might want to consider that and
I think
what changes we need.
I think that's a good idea because we're looking at, it's like giving an example. I mean, on wetlands, we have to update our regs because of some changes in state statutes. We don't spend our time at the meeting doing it. We have a subcommittee doing it. And when they're ready, they report out and then we take it to the other people who need to look at it and wind up with a public hearing and all that stuff. But it's, again, subcommitting.
That's how the both of the boards do it. And the Board of Ed, they both function that way.
Whereas the Board of Finance historically didn't really have any subcommittees. They didn't operate that way.
No, we didn't. No. And this is why we're having this discussion, because just because we did it this way in the past, does it make sense to do it again? Mm-hmm. Bob Monroe, question?
Yeah, I think that the format that we've been following for a year, that presentation by the Board of Selectmen a totally different one from the Board of Education served the town and the boards, all the boards well. I for one have, I've been looking at these numbers for a long time, and I for one have a very high level of trust in both boards, and I've been always impressed with the level of expertise that we have within both boards. So I think that we're, if I could just pass that kind of feeling on to the rest of the board members, that would help to expedite the process, because we really don't need to be sitting there and debating whether or not we should move up the library fines by $25 a year or whatever. This is just not meaningful. These people that are looking at the needs of the Board of Education required by law, this and that, or same thing on the town side for liability purposes, especially rely on the expertise of the boards.
So I think that also would get into what is the, kind of think of this, the long-term plan of the Board of Education, what is the long-term plan of the Board of Selectmen, and how does this budget accomplish the shorter-term goal for this fiscal year that's a stepping stone in that larger plan? Because that would also help explain things to the public, and it would help us understand, the rationale behind each of the, what each of the boards is proposing, because then we'll know how do those pieces fit in. Have a general understanding that if there's some changes to be made, what are the trade-offs that we're doing? Because I think sometimes in the past, we get a lot of pressure and we give up something for short term to get a budget passed or whatever reason. And then long term, we shoot ourselves in the foot because, you're starting to pile up maintenance things that should have been spread out over time. You get a blip in expenses down the road. And then we also need to think about, does this affect bond rating and other stuff like that? So it's not just, let's just make sure we get a number that the people are going to approve. It's, we have to do that, but what are the trade-offs to do that in a smart way? And there's no right answer to it because we are dealing with a number of truths that are, bunch of truths that are true simultaneously, and some of them are contradictory. And so what is that balance? Because you have people who are older and they are house rich and income poor. How do you help them? At the same time, you have people who are younger with families. They may not have money. Their kids need to be educated, and we all benefited from public schools. So there's truths like that. They're valid at the same time. And so this is part of, what I want to make sure we have that discussion about is that not everybody can get everything that they want, but we have to get something that takes care of what are the needs of the majority of the members of our, of our town, helps us stay set for the future. But, Kristen? I don't know whether you or Bob had your hand up first.
No, Kristen was up first.
Thank you, Bob. So one of the other things I wonder about, right, to the point that Amanda made before, right, the amount of work that went into communicating and how we communicate. And I just think that that's something that should also be part of the discussion is what does that look like? What avenues are we utilizing? How do we utilize them? What type of information gets put out? I just think that and again, that could be a subcommittee. I don't know, but I just think that that's another important piece.
And what I'm hearing then from you is let's not do it once and think we did a nice thing and it's done. It's have some like a subcommittee that is ongoing that makes sure we're on track with this starting like now or next month or whatever, because you start this in May, it's a little bit late.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mr. Mora.
Thank you. My is a question since I'm new on this. Has to do with surplus funds left over at the end of the year. And I know in the past you've had, there's been a percent set aside to put in the capital reserve fund. Is that the fund you were putting
on? No, rainy day fund.
Okay, yeah. The rainy day fund, correct. All right, that's what it is. And one of the areas that in planning for the future are generally capital items. Those are your big killer expenditures other than what you go out for bonding. And my question is it possible to, if you have those excess funds, obviously the board decides it wants to use 80% of it to use it as a tax offset and the balance, okay, part of that balance is going to be put into a capital reserve fund like we currently have now to be used for just capital budgets.
But that could roll from year to year?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It would. And it would be above and beyond what the mills that we are required to have.
Right.
It would roll and it would help to fund those projects because they're coming they're huge.
They're huge and they're getting more expensive and it affects both boards, both. I mean, it affects the town, regardless of what board it is. And, and I think that's something we should think about as to, again.
Yeah, no, go on, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's why I just put it out there for discussion.
No, I think it's a good idea, and that also would fall into the communicating with the public, because what we have done in the past is the monies that were surplus for this year go to reducing next year's taxes, you know, for the most part. And so this would be a change. But, you know, it's also you pay it now or you pay it later. We just have to explain some of this better because it's not as clear as we have $1 million left over this year. $1 million's going to reduce your tax burden next year. You know, that's a simple soundbite. This other stuff requires more talking to the public about because it's not that simple.
Yeah, but with the budgeting cycle, some people I think do get confused with the rollover into the next year too, and it muddies the water. And what is the comparison of budgets year over year too? So if you do have a surplus that's rolling into some sort of a capital reserve,
I think it's clean.
It makes it clean.
Amanda.
So to the point I was making about communications, and I think so. Roddy and I went to a newly elected officials training, and that capital reserve budget is one of the things that, you know, came out that I mentioned on Tuesday that I think is a great idea. But there's also a lot of, so, you know, they shared with us what an ideal budget includes that gets put out to the community, right? An org chart, information on all your FTEs, all of your funding policies, right? There's a lot of stuff that we have not been able to give to the public that would be helpful to them in digesting this information because of timing and staffing. And like, we can't expect our staff to do all of that. And so,
especially all at once.
Right. And so I think of like tiered projects or phased projects, right? Like I think we need a bigger, broader like 2 to 3 year work plan as it relates to what we want our budget to look like, what we want our budget calendar to look like, what kind of stuff we want to get out to the public, whether it includes mailings, the presentation, social media, et cetera. And I think we're going to have to tackle things in phases. So I think there's, what do we do with this budget cycle and what do we want to share, but also how do we get to that more ideal state over a longer period of time?
So it's basically like a dedicated plan for the finance committee that covers our development of our communications.
Right.
Knowing that we can't do it all at once. So what's most critical, and then parse it out that way.
That seems like an actual task that is going to need a separate sub. Once it's done, as far as setting up the structure of it, once it's done, it's done. But that's a big task that needs to, and you have some decent data or a structure that you've been given, right?
Yeah.
That we could utilize. So that seems like a good subcommittee right there to get that done.
For the subcommittee on communications, come up with that communications plan.
Yeah.
What it includes and when do we do it? And
I do think we may want to consider a policy subcommittee as well.
When you say policy,
I don't know. There's a list of 10 policies we should have, and I don't know that any of us know if we have them. Or, like, I know we have some, but I don't know one that they've been surfaced for us or the public in a very long time. And so I do think it behooves us to take a look at them and how that these policies are supposed to inform how we approach our budgeting, right? And so
you're talking about policies that are specific to budgeting.
Correct. Like our debt, not a debt policy, or what's it called? The one that Kristen was bringing up last year.
Like, we have one that how much of our money from the
goes into the
from the contingency fund goes into what?
Right.
So how much goes to, our rainy day fund, and how much of it goes into reducing the deficit next year? And it's not a big amount, the budget next year, rather, because it's not a big amount, because it's only like 25,000. But that's like
the dental fund or whatever, health fund or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And looking at your long term, when you do develop a plan, remember this is a new structure. You should always have that option of tweaking, because I'm sure as this year goes on, it's a learning process, and also we should be able to adapt it into what is done next year. We should have that flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the town charter. You have to do it every 10 years, but why can't we do it smaller pieces as we go along type of thing? And it's the same thing for us here, too. If it works, let's keep it. If it doesn't, throw it out. And what do we replace it with?
Do we have a manual, or are we going to a manual on our procedures? There's a new, that might be helpful.
No, well, that's what brought that up, is how that's part of how do we work together?
That's a good 1 year's project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Putting manuals together are a royal pain.
Mm-hmm. I used to be a tech writer, so don't count on me to do this. I have another.
I found my notes on the policy. So stated long-term financial goals and objectives, a debt policy, a fund balance policy, how we approach our 10-year capital improvement, a revenue policy, including for how we approach one-time revenues, an investment policy, and then how we treat unassigned fund balances as a percentage operating
year.
So there's a whole bunch of things like we probably have somewhere, but we just
some of them are writing.
In somebody's head.
Some are higher risk than others too.
Right.
Although we don't have to tackle them all at once.
But it helps give the committee continuity and guidance moving forward.
No, I think it's a wonderful idea, which is why I wanted to have this discussion. On Rodney, question.
Was that Ashford that had those?
East had them.
East had them. I believe. And you could probably go on their website.
You can. I have her information.
And it'd be quite, they're pretty handy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I did the same thing when we redid last time we did the inland wetlands. I went to everybody who had their regs posted online, because that time the Board of Selectmen asked us to consider a fine structure. And so I just went out like, why don't I want to create this from scratch? Let's go look what the other towns do. What is the fee, the fine structure? What is the you have to have some sort of administrative recourse and all that. So go and beg, borrow, and steal. It's mm-hmm. all public domain. There's no copyright protection on it. So I think it's a wonderful idea. So again, that looks like another subcommittee. It might be the same one, who knows, or some overlap. Yeah, I'm just really happy with this because I've been a member of this committee, you know, this Board of Finance thing for several years, and we really previously did not have these discussions, and I think they're very important. And they also make it more interesting, too, because we just don't come and sit and do the same old thing every meeting. It also makes us a bit more engaged with it. Any other thoughts on this? Actually, one I got to throw back that we sort of touched on earlier, and I mentioned it too the last time, is our dynamics, is how we work together. Because in the past, Board of Finance could be the bad cop because the selectmen would do their budget and Board of Education would. And then you could come up here and the Board of Finance could be the big bad guy and say, you know what, you're going to cut yours by 20, you're going to cut yours by 10 or whatever. And then you could go back to your constituent and say, well, we tried, but you know what the Board of Finance did. So this is going to be a little bit different because we're going to get to some point where the budget didn't pass. And then how do we handle, like, who's going to cut what and when? And I don't know
if there's... We're going to get to the point that the budget doesn't pass, Ross. We'll be optimistic.
See. Yeah. I like to plan for the worst and hope for the best. Because then you're never disappointed and you're never left there looking for that rabbit in the hat to pull out. But no, seriously, it's just a question. It's a different, you know, different dynamic. And you have, you know, us, you know, then there's three of us also, you know, kind of the arbiters, wild card or whatever. I think it'll be a different discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll actually be a discussion as opposed to like something horrible is going to happen. I'm not going to do this restart. We're going to postpone it. This happened to the Secretary of State during the registers.
15 minutes. So extend that to 1 hour.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's just do 8 hours and then I'll screw the next person. Not happy to the Secretary of State. Just, oh, I'm getting a countdown. I'm going to be thrown out in 5, 4, 3, and she's gone.
Well, you know, when you're talking about when it gets down to crunch time, you know, in the past, Even when you've had the boards up there and we're talking about it, we've looked at it and said, you know what? Yeah, if we're going to have to reduce this, let's look at where what we want to do and where. And I think, and we're going to have this discussion. And if anybody's been on a board for any length of time, you know that these things have to be done. And I think we should be able to have a reasonable discussion. May not agree fully. There may, you know, we're different people with different opinions. That's no different. But I think we all have enough working knowledge on our prospective budgets, the Board of Ed, Board of, that we can at least do a present why we think this shouldn't be cut. Or vice versa. I think we can have a good discussion on it. And then it gets down to, all right, we got to gut it out. We have to make the votes. I have recommended when I was first selectman, I've recommended making cuts on my own budget because that's what you have to do to make it work. And I you know, I think Kristen has been in similar positions to say, you know, we got to make this work. We'll try and do this here and there. I don't see that changing. I think this group maybe have not totally worked together, but enough. So I feel comfortable we can do this. But we'll know in April but yeah. I feel pretty good about it right now.
I think it comes down to, so the other question I asked too on that note is, do you feel comfortable, do folks here feel comfortable in disagreeing or even voting against what the majority seems to do, you know, because that is very important that folks do feel comfortable in disagreeing. And I think it's good because it makes us all think. We just need to make sure we do it in a way that after we're disagreed, we still feel comfortable in going out to the bar and having a drink together afterwards. You know, which is, you know, how I feel about it is you have to disagree civilly, and it's about a topic, it's not about the person.
Right. I'm anticipating, I mean, I've never had a situation being on the Board of Ed where there have been discussions about things, you know, and like somebody will ask a question or will, you know, have clarification. Basically, we may not come out with what we thought we were going to start with, but it's all been really quite collegial. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been a great experience. Yeah. So I never anticipated that there'd be a problem because that's not my experience.
I'm not really anticipating there being a problem yet. I just want to make sure we have the discussion, because just because I don't think we're going to have a problem doesn't mean other folks feel the same way. Right. So I just want to make sure that folks are comfortable agreeing, disagreeing. And usually when you have a discussion and you sort of butt heads in a constructive way, you wind up with something better than what you started with, is, you know, has been my experience. And that's also part of this whole diversity and inclusion thing, is you want people with different ideas and different approaches to come together, and you get something better than if you all think the same way. So that's more of what I'm getting into. It's not really the idea that we're all going to, like, flip each other off and walk out in a huff. I haven't seen that with the years that I've been in, you know, government here in Bolton, which is what I love about this town. And I, you know, so again, I'm just wanting to have the discussion. And I just will let some of the new folks know that I often just say things just to see what the reaction of other people is. Sometimes I already know the answer and I'm asking it for the benefit of whoever may be listening in on a recording. Mm-hmm. So when I ask things, I may already know the answer. I may have my own opinion. There's a number of reasons why I ask stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just to provoke people in a discussion. So I might agree with you and say I don't, just to get a discussion going. So just be aware of that's what I do. Yes, Amanda.
So to next steps, I'm wondering, and this is probably more a question for Jill than anybody else, you know, I know last year the two boards presented to us in March. I feel like we may have seen a budget calendar in our January meeting last year, and we don't have one right now in front of us. Is it possible to have a draft potential calendar at our Kappa meeting next week for us to look at? Only because I'm concerned of not looking at the calendar until the third week of February.
That's kind of what I was getting at with the agenda and the calendar, is we have to be strategic with and lay that out. Otherwise, we will meet for...
Yeah. It's just like with the registrars, we get a calendar from the state the beginning of the year that states everything we're doing for the whole year. Yeah. So I think it would be good. Jill, is that something that we could work on?
Well, I guess it depends on, do you want... meetings every twice a week, every week. How do I do this then?
You're thinking, Amanda, more of, and Ashley, more of, when do we have to, by charter or that whatever,
do the backwards timeline from those dates, and then we can set topics
for fill in between.
So just basically, what are the mandated dates we have to do things at? Like, when does it go to the town for the first referendum, and then work back from there?
The referendum doesn't, I don't have a clue when the referendum is. The Board of Selectmen doesn't vote on that till later. So there's a time it has to be,
around mid-May is the first one, right? So if we picked like a mid-May Tuesday, right? Yeah. And I would be happy to work with Jill on this to come up with something. So I guess the only question is, it's okay, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, to put it on the agenda for the next finance committee meeting
because the first budget, the first agenda item is going to be CAPA. The second agenda item could be budget calendar.
Yeah. Right. And right? I would also, we may also under budget calendar want to consider subcommittees if we need to start any.
So I just got the proposed the proposed agenda from Kathy today. So I didn't reply to her yet, if I recall correctly. So I could reply that we want to add this on discussion on budget calendar because it's a special meeting. So we need if we want to talk about it, we need to have it posted.
Correct.
Yep. Get that calendar.
So I'll reach out to you tomorrow. I know we're both in the middle of budget. But I have maybe a quick solution for us to bring forward.
Which you are you referring to? Since there's a bunch of us, you.
Jill, here. I said Jill. Sorry,
yeah, he said Jill. Yep. Okay, Kristen.
Just want to make sure because there's a bunch of us, use guys here. Yeah. So, any further discussion on that, or we beat it, you know, to death with a stick? So it sounds like we need to talk about getting a. The key things it sounds like is a subcommittee going for policies, another one going for communication. And we also need to know, to help inform any discussions in the future, what are we trying to solve with the budget this year and how does that fit into a longer, you know, longer plan for Board of Selectmen and a longer plan for Board of Education. And what I want to do is, I'll be honest with you, is when we talk about this stuff, we're all the town. We often say Board of Education and then the town. And I just really want to try to avoid that because we have the Board of Education and we have the Board of Selectmen. And we all are there for one reason, which is to support, you know, the town. So some of it is just the words we use. They do have some, you know, they do mean something. So anything else that we want to have on this agenda? So my takeaway is I'll make a note now is with Kathy to make sure we update the agenda for next week's meeting. And that's next Thursday. So it'll be the 20th.
Board of Finance. So besides the two boards, what else is kind of under their purview? So you have monitoring interests. You have, what did you say? The audit. Kappa.
Oh, good point. The audit, especially.
Yeah. What else?
We do audits. We do the capital. It seems like we've also included being, you know, keeping an eye on interest, right. You know, the bank, you know, the banks that we use and are we getting a good deal?
Right.
So it, you know, it's like, it's really the financial health of the town. We have, you know, overall responsibility as a board for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be short term and long term. So it's a lot. And I think it also makes it more interesting for us too.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause we're not just looking at the numbers every month. It's like, what do they really mean for, you know, the town? So we feel like we've beaten this to death for tonight. I think we should put it on the agenda probably for next month to follow up on it so it doesn't get away from us.
Yeah.
And we could also talk about setting up any subcommittees. Mm-hmm. And if we need, you know, do that, then they'll have to as appropriate post when they're, you know, when they're meeting again for FOIA. Right.
Yeah. And then outside of budget season, kind of the scope of the monthly meetings. Is it just updates on where we are with expenditures and
What it's been in the past.
Monitor.
So does it have to be that?
Right.
Because some of the stuff that we're talking about, it's better to do like communications and stuff before you get to when you need it, which is coming up very quickly.
Right.
So if, you know, we may not get as much as we want to done for this referendum, but it's good too. And also we don't meet in the summer typically. That's true.
Okay.
And we had trouble with getting quorums for that last time. So again, that's something to think about too. Do you want to have special meetings in the summer for any of these topics? And again, no right answer. Mm-hmm. It's just something to consider. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more interesting for us and we have more of a purpose than just sit here and look at numbers, you know, once a month. Because what does that really do for the future? Because that's what, you know, again, that's what we really are doing is like making sure that we are healthy as a town financially and can do the things that we you know, our public wants. Amanda.
At the training, they said to think of your budget as your strategic plan. So we are basically in charge of making sure that strategic, with the two boards, right, making sure that strategic plan is on track to move forward.
Yeah.
In its biggest, broadest sense.
Yeah, and I think that makes it more interesting. You'll want to come to these meetings. You'll want to have these discussions as opposed to, oh, God, it's just another look at the numbers and ask cranky questions. Okay. I have it's 8:45. Do I have, I look into what
happened? I'll second your motion, Amanda.
Amanda, when we are done, we can call the meeting adjourned at 8:44.
All right.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Good night. We'll
sooner than we want to, probably.
Good night.
A meeting next week, too?
Yes.